This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and today we need to talk about the panel in front of you. Not the airplane you learned in, the one you're flying toward. Because the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, just put out draft guidance on how cockpit controls should work when those controls are no longer switches and knobs, when they're a piece of glass you tap, or a voice command you speak out loud. If you fly anything built in the last 10 years, or you're shopping for anything built in the next 10, this affects you. Here's what you need to know. But first, a quick word about who's keeping the lights on today. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's get into it. The reporting on this comes from AveWeb, and here's the headline. The FAA has released updated draft guidance addressing human factors concerns as cockpit controls move beyond the mechanical, beyond the toggle switch, beyond the detented knob you can find by feel with your eyes outside. We're talking touchscreens, we're talking voice command systems, we're talking about the slow, steady migration of the flight deck away from things you push and pull, and toward things you tap and speak. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, so let's unpack what's actually going on here, and why the FAA felt it needed to say something. Start with the problem. And it is a real problem. A physical switch has something engineers call tactile feedback. You can find it without looking. You can feel it move. You can feel it click into a detent, in turbulence, in the dark. With your attention split across a dozen tasks, your hand knows where that gear handle is and knows when it's down and locked. A flat piece of glass gives you none of that. A touchscreen doesn't have edges your fingers can hunt for. It doesn't push back. And in bumpy air, the very moment you most need to change something, your finger is bouncing around a 2-inch target that has no physical boundary. That's the human factors concern in one sentence. When you take away the feel, you take away a layer of safety that pilots have relied on since the very first airplane had a control in the cockpit. Now, this isn't the FAA being nostalgic. Touchscreens have genuine advantages. They're reconfigurable. One display can be a moving map, then an engine page, then a checklist, then a weather picture. They reduce the sheer number of physical parts that can fail. They let a manufacturer push a software update instead of redesigning a whole panel. There are good reasons the industry is moving this direction, but good reasons don't erase the trade-offs, and the FAA's job is to make sure the trade-offs get managed instead of ignored. So what does the draft guidance actually address? Let me give you the shape of it. First, the eyes down problem. Every second you spend hunting through a touchscreen menu is a second your eyes are inside the cockpit instead of outside. Scanning for traffic, or inside, instead of on your instruments, in the soup. The guidance pushes designers to think hard about how many taps, how many menu layers, how much heads down time a given task requires, because a control that takes 4 taps to reach is a control you'll be staring at when you should be flying. Second, turbulence and what the human factors people call the accuracy of input. If a bump can make you tap the wrong item, the design has to account for that. Bigger targets, confirmation steps for the critical stuff, physical grab handles or bezels near the screen, so your hand has something to brace against. These aren't luxuries. In a moving airplane, they're the difference between selecting the right thing and selecting the wrong thing at the wrong moment. Third, and this is the newer frontier, voice commands. Voice control is showing up in aviation the same way it showed up in your car and your kitchen. The promise is obvious. Hands on the controls, eyes outside, and you just say what you want. That's a beautiful idea in a single pilot cockpit, where your hands and your attention are already stretched thin. But voice brings its own questions, and the FAA is right to ask them. What happens when the system mishears you in a loud cockpit, with an engine running and wind noise and a headset? Does the system reliably tell the difference between what you said and what it thought you said? What happens when you're talking to air traffic control, and the system tries to act on something in your readback? How does it confirm a command before it does something that matters? And critically, does the pilot always have a clear way to know what the system just did and to undo it fast? That last point is the heart of all of this. It's a principle human factors engineers come back to again and again. The pilot has to stay in the loop. You have to know what state the airplane is in. You have to know what the automation just did on your behalf, and you have to be able to take it back. The moment a control system leaves you guessing about what mode you're in, or what just happened, you've traded a mechanical risk for a much more dangerous one, a confusion risk. Now let me connect this to your actual flying, because that's what we do here. This affects you if you fly a modern glass panel airplane right now. Think about the last time you tried to reprogram a flight plan on a touchscreen navigator in bumpy air. Remember how you had to time your taps between the bumps? Remember bracing your hand against the bolster to steady your finger? That's not a you problem, that's a design reality. And it's exactly what this guidance is trying to get ahead of. This affects you if you're shopping for an airplane or an avionics upgrade. When you sit in that demo cockpit at the avionics shop on the ground on a calm day, everything feels slick and easy, but ask the harder questions. How does this work in turbulence? How many taps to get to the page I need in an emergency? Can I do the critical stuff by feel, or am I heads down every time? The guidance the FAA is shaping now is going to influence how the next generation of these systems gets built and certified. You want to be a smart consumer of it. And this affects you if you fly for a living, or you're headed that way. The transport category flight decks, the airliners, are moving the same direction, and the training implications are real. How you're taught to manage these interfaces, how automation modes are briefed, how voice systems get incorporated into a two-pilot flow, all of that flows downstream from thinking that starts in documents exactly like this one. Here's the part I want to be careful about. This is draft guidance. Draft. It is not a regulation. It is not a rule you have to comply with tomorrow. What it is the FAA signaling to manufacturers and to the certification world how it's thinking about these interfaces and inviting comment before anything gets finalized. That's actually the healthy part of the process. This is the stage where engineers, manufacturers, pilot groups, and everyday aviators can weigh in before the thinking hardens into standards. If you have strong feelings about the touchscreen in your airplane, this is the window where opinions still move the needle. Watch for the public comment period. And if this is your world, participate in it. Let me offer one piece of perspective, and I'll flag this as my own opinion, so we're square on that. Every generation of pilots has had this same argument. When gyroscopic instruments arrived, there were pilots who swore you should fly by the seat of your pants. When the glass cockpit replaced round dials, there were plenty who said it would make pilots lazy and dependent. Some of those worries were overblown. Some of them turned out to be exactly right. And the industry had to build training and design fixes to answer them. Touchscreens and voice are just the current chapter of that same story. The technology isn't good or bad on its own. What matters is whether it's designed around how human beings actually perform in a moving, noisy, high-workload cockpit, not how they perform in a quiet demo on the ground. And what matters is whether we, the pilots, stay sharp enough to keep our hand on the airplane even when the airplane is happy to do more of the work. The switch and the knob earned their place over 100 years of flying. If we're going to replace them with glass and voice, the replacements have to earn their place the same way by making us safer, not just making the panel look modern. So here's your action item, and it's a simple one. Know your airplane. Whatever you fly, take the time on the ground to learn where the critical controls live, how to reach them fast, and how to recover if the automation does something you didn't expect. Practice the failure, practice the emergency page. Don't let the first time you go hunting for a control be the day you actually need it in a hurry. That's the story. My thanks to AVWeb for the reporting that brought this one to the surface, and to the FAA for putting the draft out where the rest of us can see it and weigh in. You can find more at radiohangar.com. This is Tower. Keep your eyes outside, keep your hand on the airplane, and I'll see you next time on ATIS.